إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, there is a book called Outliers and it's by a guy called Malcolm Gladwell. Now I remember the first time I read this book, it was given to me as a gift by my very good friend and brother, Dr. Tahir Asmal. In South Africa, we were driving to the Drakensberg Mountains, and on the way, he gave me this book. Malcolm Gladwell is a statistician, and he is one of his very interesting books. He's got a couple of other ones, but this is one of the best. The reason I mention that book is because he, using statistical analysis, he makes a point and he says that to become expert in anything, whatever it is, whether it's writing code, whether it's swinging on a trapeze, whether it's riding a horse, whatever. He says anything that you want to be an expert in, you have to do it for 10,000 hours. You must do that action for 10,000 hours. And he calls it the 10,000 hour rule. So anything you do for 10,000 hours, you can then be considered an expert in that thing. Now he gives a lot of case studies, very interesting case studies, including Bill Gates, to prove his point that 10,000 hours makes you an expert. Now obviously it goes without saying, it's 10,000 hours of thoughtful application of that activity. It's not 10,000 hours of mindless application of the activity. You have to be conscious of what you are doing and how you are doing it. But provided you do that, 10,000 hours makes you an expert. So I thought I will apply that to my salah. And I did a calculation. My calculation is 2 hours a day and 2 hours is if you take 20 minutes per salah, I am saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us from the time we make wudu, including the journey to the masjid, all of this. So let's take advantage of all that. So taking all that into consideration, if we take 20 minutes per salah, that's into 5. 2 5s 10, that is 100 minutes. Put another 20 minutes for the sake of calculation, so 120 minutes, which is 2 hours. So 2 hours per day into 365 days, plus 1 hour of Jummah, which is extra, which we come and sit and listen to the khutbah and so on. So that is 52 Jummahs. So 2 into 365 plus 52, then you have Taraweeh, and if you pray 20 rakat of Taraweeh, it's roughly 2 hours, give or take, you know, some minutes here and there. You roughly 2 hours you're spending in the masjid, Taraweeh plus listen to some tafsir and so on. So this calculation, 2 hours into 365 days plus 52 hours plus 60 hours, which is 30 days into 2 hours. And I multiplied that by 30 years of a lifespan. So I'm saying if you are 40 years old and assuming that you started praying regularly at the age of 10, which you should have, you would have been praying now for 30 years, alhamdulillah. If you're older than that, then you are praying for longer than that. That gives a total of, believe it or not, 25,260 hours. Not 10,000 hours, 25,260 hours. Somebody who has been praying for 30 years has been praying for 25,260 hours. Therefore, you should not be an expert, you should be double expert. I should be double the expert. I have been roughly in public speaking and presentation. I have been doing those for a little over this time. And alhamdulillah, I don't call myself an expert and so on and so forth, that's for people to say. But one thing I can tell you, that you can put me in front of an audience of 500,000 people, I won't even bat an eyelid. My blood pressure or my heartbeat does not even go up by one. I'm completely and totally at home. And you can give me a topic after you put me in front of the audience and I can speak to them and convince them for whatever the topic was. Alhamdulillah. My question is, can I say the same about my salah? Can I say the same about my 2 rakat of salah to say that I can pray within quotes like an expert? Now what is an expert salah? An expert salah is from the takbir to the salam. Your concentration must not move from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Can I do that? And if I cannot do that, what does it say about these 25,000, in my case probably more than that, wallah alam, what does it say about how this time has been spent? And that's the big question. The big question is, what are we getting out of salah? I'm not talking about the sawab part of it. Alhamdulillah, we get the sawab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, that is His rahmah. Whether the salat is good or bad, we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are some people whose salah does not even rise above their head. It is taken and crumpled up like a dirty cloth and thrown back in their face. May Allah not make us among those people. So there is that also. But I am saying, leaving that aside, we hope for the West, we hope for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my point is, did salah come only for us to get some sawab? Sawab you get for everything. I mean, you do some charity, you get salah, sawab, you smile at somebody, it's charity, that is sawab, and so on. Salah came for what? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, salah is for getting the help of Allah. Can we say that my salah actually solved this problem in my life? And if we cannot say that, why can't we say it? Is it unreasonable to expect this? Somebody who has been doing something for 25,000 hours plus, and if he cannot say that this is what this salah has given me, then subhanallah, ajeeb. And that's what I want to remind myself in you today. Let us think clearly and let us do our actions and especially our salah thoughtfully. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us something from the salah and apply us in this, apply ourselves in that. I may have prayed for 25,000 plus hours, but I can definitely tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when my time will come, but I don't think I've got another 25,000 hours of salah left in my life. So I'm already over that piece. So whatever else is going to come will be less than what I've already done. So if all these 25,000 hours didn't give me benefit, then what is the rest of it? What benefit am I going to get? Unless I do something about it. And that is the question. That's the question to myself and with due respect to you. What do you plan to do about your salah? Ramadan is a time of reflection. Ramadan is a time of practicing the salah. Marana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of the ulama of Tabligh, he used to say that you will never benefit from your salah until you are convinced that this salah solves your problems of this world. Not the akhirah. Akhirah will happen, inshallah. That is a different matter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the salah is the miftahul jannah. It is the key for jannah. But my point is, the salah which cannot get us one piece of dried bread in this life is going to open jannah for you? Seriously, ask this question. If we don't have the faith that this salah is going to solve our little problems that we have in this life, we don't have this faith. We do not go to salah with that expectation. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, find ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Take the help of sabr, which means maximum effort, and salah. Somebody asked me, what's your fundraising strategy for the SBA? I said, tahajjud. He looked at me like I'm mad or something. I said, no, that is a strategy. As far as I'm concerned, that is a clear fundraising strategy. To pray tahajjud. It's the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah doesn't want to make it happen, I don't care. But I want to say, Allah, I did not miss one single tahajjud where I didn't ask you for this. If you didn't give it, you are the king. I mean, it's up to you, give or don't give. But I will not come before you and say that it happened because of my laziness. No way. And that's why I tell people, if somebody comes to you, if I come to you, for example, and I say that I've got my finances, all this planned, and I've got this OD in the bank and so on, OD facility in the bank, you will say, very good, financial planning. Supposing I say my financial planning is I ask Allah and He gives me. He will say, you are crazy, you are tripping. What were you smoking? It's now legal in America. Marijuana is medicinally, you can actually smoke it. It's legal. So that's what you will ask me. I mean, are you on some drug or something? I mean, what's this? You may not ask me in so many words because you are Muslims, alhamdulillah, but you will think to yourself, ke pagal hai diwana budda. Kya ki bol raha? Allah ko mangta kate. But this was the strategy of the Sahaba. This was the strategy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah al-Hadrami radiyallahu anhu was sent as the general commanding the force to Bahrain. They went from Medina. They came to the sea. Wallah alam, probably where Dammam is now. And they are looking across the channel, across the sea. Bahrain is on the other side, you can't see it. It's 25, now there's the bridge, the causeway, which is about 25 kilometers or more. So obviously you can't see 25 kilometers. So they see the sea. Now the Bahrain was ruled by the Sassanids, by the Iranians, Persians. And the Persians said, this is very simple, I mean, these guys are coming, remove the ships. Take away the ships, how can they cross? So they took away the ships. So when they came there, they find the sea. There are no boats. The Arabs are not boat builders. At least at that time, they were not boat builders. What did they do? Abdullah al-Hadrami radiallahu anhu, he said to the people, he said, is there any one of you who has committed a major sin? Leaving one salah is major sin. Telling a lie is major sin. Major sin is not only murdering and zina or something. Then he said to them, dismount, pray two rakat of salah, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us cross this bridge. We are the messengers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are on the job of doing the work of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of taking this deen to that place. It is for Allah to help us. They prayed two rakat of salah, they made dua. Then Abdullah al-Hadrami gave the command, he said, mount up and ride. How? On what? They rode, and the writers of history of that incident, they say that the water never rose above the hoof of the horse. The water did not rise above the hoof of the horse. Now, when they reached the other side, the Persians ran away. They said, these are not human, these are jinn or something, they are coming across the sea. We can't fight them. They ran away, there was no battle. They finished, they occupied the place, they got their ghanima. Now they have to come back. On the other side, there are ships. The Persian ships are all there because they captured all of that. They had all the ships. And they had the sailors to sail those ships. What did they do? This is where the issue of asbab and musabbibul asbab comes in. What did they do? What would any rational person do? He would say, there is a ship, we go back in the ship. Is it haram to use a ship? What did they do? Abdullah al-Hadrami said, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mount and ride. And they rode back on the waters. When the Ummah of Musa alayhi salam crossed the sea, the Nabi was with them and ahead of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the waters and they walked on the earth. When the messengers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to cross the sea, the Nabi was not with them. Their Rabb did not part the ocean. Their Rabb let them ride on the water and back. That is the power of salah. That is the power of salah. But that is the power of what kind of salah? Not my kind of salah. That is the power of the kind of salah that the Sahaba prayed. But just yesterday, you heard this ayat in Taraweeh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door open. I have mentioned this ayat so many times. Ayat number 100 of Surah Tawbah. Allah left the door open for those who follow the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in bil ihsan. So the door is open for us. We will not be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, well, you know that was the Sahaba Salah, what can I do? No. How that Salah was prayed is clearly specified, clearly described. Allah gave us the opportunity to pray that Salah, and Allah gave us the opportunity to pray that Salah in circumstances and situations which are far more comfortable than what the Sahaba faced. The Sahaba were not praying in air-conditioned masajid with beautiful carpets. So the Salah is there for us to take advantage of and for us to become experts in it if we choose to. That is the key. So it's not just 10,000 hours of activity, it is 10,000 hours of thoughtful application of that skill, which makes you an expert. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to bless us and to help us in this blessed month to be able to make our salah into a powerful tool that we can use in order to get all that we need and want in this life, and to in order to be able to open the door of Jannah for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your salah and to help you in this salah, to pray as it is his right that he should be worshipped. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.